All right, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Michael Iacopino. I am counsel to the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee, and we are here tonight in docket number 2015-06, the joint application of Northern Pass Transmission LLC and Public Service Company of New Hampshire, doing business as Eversource Energy, for a certificate of site and facility for the project commonly referred to as the Northern Pass. The purpose of our meeting tonight is to put on a public information session. There are agendas out at the table as you came in. I'm going to first explain to you the agenda, how we're going to go through this meeting tonight. It has a number of different parts. The purpose of the meeting is to provide information to the public from the Site Evaluation Committee and from the applicants, the joint applicants in this case, the people who are who wish to develop the Northern Pass project. We will start off with a presentation that I will present to you all, just explaining you a little bit about the Site Evaluation Committee, how it's composed, how it works, and some of the features of RSA 162H, which is the statute that governs the Site Evaluation Committee. After that, we will then have a presentation by the applicant put on so that the applicant can explain its project to you. Once the applicant has completed its presentation, we will take questions from the audience. If you have a question, you should write it down on a green sheet that you can get out at the table out front, and maybe somebody could bring some of these in here as well in case people come up with questions while they're seated here and they don't have to run outside. But if you have a question for either the Site Evaluation Committee or the applicant, it should be written on a green sheet like this. And what we do up here, as you can see, we've already started doing it, is we try to categorize them so that we can talk in an organized fashion about different issues that may come up. So if you have a question, either for the applicant or the Site Evaluation Committee, please write it down on a green sheet. Once we have gone through the questions and answered them, hopefully, both from the Site Evaluation Committee and from the applicants, we will then go into a public comment session. In front of me, there is a dais. If you wish to make a public comment or a public statement about the proposed project, you should fill out a yellow sheet and bring that up to the front table here or hand it to any one of the workers who are here in the facility, or my associate, Irina Dorr, right behind you there with her hand raised, and we will make sure that you get put in line to speak at the time for public comment. We are going to follow that agenda, okay? That means that if you have a question, don't wait until public statement time to ask the question. Write your question down on the green sheet of paper, and it will be asked and answered by the appropriate person. If you come up and start asking questions during the time for public statements, I will simply say to you, well, those are good rhetorical questions. Thank you. You won't get an answer during that period, okay? We're trying to do this in an organized fashion. We have found over many years that this way of doing this works the best. And with that, we'll begin. To my left is Pamela Monroe. She is the administrator of the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee. As I said before, my associate Irina Dorr is in the back. I am counsel to the committee. There are no committee members here tonight. And the reason why that is because this is a session where information is provided to you primarily. There will be a public hearing held here in Rockingham County. I don't know that the date has been set yet, but it will be held, I believe, in Deerfield. At the public hearing, there will be five of them, actually. There will be one in each county where this project is proposed for. At those public hearings, one in each county, we will have the subcommittee that is hearing this, that will decide the issue at those hearings. The way the legislature has created our statute is we have this session, which is a public information session, must be held within 45 days of acceptance of the application. And then within the next 45 days, we'll have five more public hearings, and those public hearings will actually have the subcommittee present. And they'll be run very much like this one, however, without the presentation from myself. So the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee has a website. The Northern Pass application for a certificate of site and facility, which is the permit that the Site Evaluation Committee issues, is on our website. The website is www.nhsec.nh.gov. If you wish to see that application, you can get it there for free. It is lengthy, it is long. Please bear with us if it takes your computer a long time to load any of the documents. The Site Evaluation Committee is a creature of statute. RSA 162H is the statute, the New Hampshire statute that creates the committee. And RSA 162H has several purposes. It has a purpose of balancing the impacts, the benefits and impacts of the selection of sites for energy facilities and transmission facilities. And it balances those benefits and impacts on various things, such as the welfare of the population, the effects on private property, the location and growth of industry, economic growth of the state, the environment of the state, historic sites, aesthetics, air and water quality, public health and safety, natural resources, and generally the public interest. The second purpose of the statute is to avoid undue delay in the construction of new facilities. Third purpose is to provide full and timely consideration of environmental consequences. The fourth is to provide full and complete public disclosure. That's why it's important that everybody who is interested look at our website, because every document that is filed in the case will be on the website, including the application, including the comments of the public. We take written comments throughout our proceedings, and they are posted on our website. And finally, the purpose of RSA 162H is to ensure that the construction and operation of energy facilities is treated as a significant aspect of land use planning, in which all environmental, economic, and technical issues are resolved in an integrated fashion. That purpose for the Site Evaluation Committee and for this statute was developed by the legislature. In essence, the Site Evaluation Committee is the statewide planning board for energy projects. And when I say energy projects, that includes transmission lines. The Site Evaluation Committee is designed to integrate all of the various permitting processes, as well as environmental, economic, and technical issues, into a single permitting process. Now, that doesn't mean that an applicant or a developer doesn't have to get permits. They still file all of their applications, just as if they were building a Walmart across the street or something. They still have to get all of those permits and file them. What happens, though, is that the final decision is integrated into the Site Evaluation Committee process, which I will go through in just a minute. When I say that we are a statewide planning board, the Site Evaluation Committee, RSA 162H preempts. That's a fancy lawyer word for it. It nullifies the responsibility and authority of your local planning board, zoning board, and local ordinances. Now, the Site Evaluation Committee, by statute, is required to take your local ordinances into consideration in making any decision that it's called upon to make. However, that authority will no longer rest with the local planning board or zoning board. We call this the supermarket theory, or the one-stop shop theory of permitting. I'm not the person who will make the decision on the Northern Pass application. That decision will be made by the Site Evaluation Committee members. I am only counsel to that committee, but that committee consists of a number of important people in the state. Up on the wall, I have who those offices are. Each of the three public utilities commissioners for the state of New Hampshire sit on a Site Evaluation Committee. as does the Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Services, the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation, the Commissioner of the Department of Resources and Economic Development, and the Commissioner of the Department of Cultural Resources, or the Director of the Division of Historical Resources. And usually it's the Director of the Historical Resources Division that sits on the Site Evaluation Committee. In addition, we have two public members, one of whom by statute is required to be an attorney, both of whom are required to have expertise in this area. And there is one alternate public member. At present, one of our public member seats is vacant. Unfortunately, our member Roger Hawk passed away last weekend, so our alternate member Rachel Whitaker has recently been appointed to sit on the committee. The committee today consists of these folks up here. I've just gone through their offices, but the chairman of the committee is Martin Honigberg. He's also the chairman of the Public Utilities Commission. Thomas Burak, Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Services, is our vice chairman. Robert Scott and Catherine Bailey are the other two Public Utilities Commissioners who sit on our committee. Victoria Sheehan is our new Commissioner of Transportation. She is on our committee. Jeff Rose is the Commissioner of Dred. He sits on our committee. Elizabeth Muzzy is the Director of the Division of Historical Resources. She is a member of the committee. We have one vacancy and a public member. Attorney Patricia Weathersby from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, is a public member. And our alternate public member is Rachel Whitaker from Berlin, New Hampshire. Now, those are the members of the committee. Each one of those state agency members has the authority to have somebody from their agency sit in their place. The statute says that it must be either a staff attorney or a senior administrator within their agency. In this particular case, a subcommittee has been appointed and people have been designated to sit on that subcommittee. And they are Martin Honigberg, our chair, will chair the subcommittee in this particular case. Commissioner Burak has appointed Craig Wright, who is the director of the Air Resources Division of DES, to sit in his place. Catherine Bailey, as a commissioner of the PUC, will sit. Commissioner Rose from Dred has appointed his director of the Economic Development, Christopher Way, to sit. Commissioner Sheehan from the Department of Transportation has designated William Oldenburg, who is the Assistant Director of Project Development for DOT, to sit. And our public members on this subcommittee will be Ms. Weathersby and Ms. Whitaker. These are the folks who will actually hear the evidence in this case and decide whether or not to grant a permit, or as we call it on the committee, a certificate of site and facility to the applicants for this transmission project. So that's our committee. There's another very important part of our process, and that is who represents you, the members of the public. Under RSA 162H, Section 9, there is counsel to the public, appointed by the Attorney General, represents the public in seeking to protect the environment and in seeking to assure that there is an adequate supply of energy. Counsel for the public is involved in our cases just like any other party. He has all of the rights, responsibilities, and privileges of a party in a formal proceeding. And in this particular case, our counsel for the public is Senior Assistant Attorney General Peter Roth. Where is he? If you would stand up and maybe speak to the folks and tell them how they can reach you and what you do. Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Is this thing working? Yes. My name is Peter Roth. I was appointed by the Attorney General to serve as counsel for the public in this matter. I've served as counsel for the public in a number of matters over the last 10 years, this one being, of course, the largest. My job is to represent the interests of the public, and I don't represent the people who are against the project, but I do, and I don't represent the people who are for the project, but I do. I represent the overall public interest, and while that sounds confusing, it's fairly straightforward. We don't generally take a position with respect to a project. My job is to analyze the evidence and challenge the evidence as I see it, and in that respect, I'm assisted in this project by two attorneys from the Primer firm who are seated here. Eli Emerson, who is an energy attorney from St. Johnsbury, Vermont, and has an office in Littleton, and Tom Pappas, who is a Nashua resident, I think, and also works out of Manchester. We anticipate bringing evidence in this case, hiring experts, which is something we're allowed to do, to challenge the evidence and bring our own point of view to the case to make sure that the statutory purposes for my mission are fulfilled. That is a proper balance between the need for energy and the environmental impacts. If you have questions or concerns, you can reach me at the Department of Justice. I'll give you my direct dial telephone number and my email address. But please be aware that I cannot represent anybody individually or any organization. So I can't give you legal advice or counsel. I can provide you information and some insights here and there. But my telephone number is 271-1270. And my email address is peter.roth, R-O-T-H, at doj.nh.gov. And if anybody wants to approach me during the meeting or afterwards, I'll be happy to talk to you and answer any questions you may have about what we do. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. The site evaluation process is a process that takes approximately 1 year. There are time frames that are set by the legislature for the committee to do its job. And I'm going to go over with you what those time frames are. And these apply in every time that an application for any type of energy project is submitted to the committee. First, there is what we any applicant who proposes an energy facility or a transmission line is required to hold sessions very much like this before they ever file their application. And in this particular case, I understand that the Northern Pass developers did in fact hold 5 pre-application public information sessions, and they had to be held at least 30 days before filing their application. Once an application is filed with the Site Evaluation Committee, it's the obligation of the chairman of the committee to forward that application to all agencies that have permitting or other regulatory authority. Sometimes we just refer to that as agencies with jurisdiction. And it's also required that the committee immediately begin to undertake a review of that application to determine whether or not the application contains sufficient information for the Site Evaluation Committee to do its job. If the committee determines that the application is complete, and if it hears from each of the state agencies that the application is complete, it will do what we call accept the application. All that means is that the application will then go into the process for review by the committee. That determination of whether or not an application should be accepted or not has to be made within 60 days, 2 months, of when the application was filed. In this particular case, the Site Evaluation Committee met and voted to accept this application, finding that it contained sufficient information and hearing from each of the state agencies that it contained sufficient information for their purposes. And an order accepting the application was issued by the committee on December 18th, 2015. And that is the date that all of the other deadlines runs from. We already had a subcommittee appointed in this particular case, and we've showed you who's on that subcommittee. The next step in the process is what we're doing right here, right now, and that is to hold a public information session in each county in which the project is proposed to be developed. Rockingham County is one of those counties. That's why we are here tonight. There are 5 of those sessions scheduled. We had one in Franklin earlier this week. There is the one that we are doing tonight. I believe tonight's the 13th, if I'm correct. There will be one on the 14th, on the 20th, and on the 21st. And I don't have those where they are, but I know that they are in Laconia this week. Laconia, Whitefield, and Lincoln, in that order. So January 14th in Laconia, January 20th in Whitefield, and January 21 in Lincoln. And if anybody here is interested in going to those, you can find out where they are in each of those towns on our website, or if you just come up and ask Pam or myself, we'll direct you to the proper place. Just ask us and we'll get you where they are. So that's the first step in the process, and that is a public information session. It's an opportunity for folks to come and learn about the committee and learn about the project. The next step is what we call joint public hearings, and they have to be held within 90 days of acceptance of the application. In this case, those joint public hearings must be held before St. Patrick's Day 2016. We have to have five of them before that date. And again, there has to be at least one in each county. At the joint public hearings, we will have all of the members of the subcommittee, as well as representatives from state agencies who have regulatory authority, and that's also their opportunity to sort of hear from the public. Those are in the process of being scheduled, and if you're interested in attending those, you should keep your eye on our website, because there will be a notice published on the website as well as in the Manchester Union Leader. The next deadline that occurs is after the joint public hearings. We have to have all the state agencies who are involved prepare preliminary reports or draft conditions and submit them to the Site Evaluation Committee. Those preliminary reports and draft conditions are required to be provided to the committee within 150 days after acceptance of the application. And by my calculation, in this case, that means by May 16th, 2016. And those agencies also have to provide us with their final decisions on applications, on permits, by within 240 days or 9 months after acceptance of the application. And in this case, that is on August 15th, 2016. Once we have the final input of the state agencies, the Site Evaluation Committee then meets in what we call an adjudicative session. And that is very much like a trial. We will probably meet in Concord. There will be witnesses that will be called. They will be cross-examined. There will be evidence presented. And there will be, after all the evidence has been presented, there will be deliberations in public by the subcommittee. And then within 365 days after the acceptance of the application, the subcommittee must issue a decision, either granting or denying a certificate. Now, while this is all going on, the parties to the case, the applicant, counsel for the public, anybody who has asked and been granted intervention in the proceeding, all go through a period of what we call discovery, where they trade information. They get to ask each other questions, so that all of the important information about the case should hopefully be in everybody's hands before we get to that adjudicative process. During that period leading up to the adjudicative process, our state agencies play a very important role. There are state agencies that have what we call permitting or other regulatory authority. Those are agencies that, if this was a Walmart and not an energy facility, they would have to issue a permit. I'll give you an example. The Department of Environmental Services, if you're going to impact wetlands, requires you to get a permit in order to do that. And you have to satisfy certain regulatory requirements. So that is an agency that has permitting or regulatory authority. There are some agencies that don't have regulatory authority but have an interest in a proceeding. A good example of that is Fish and Game. The Fish and Game Department in New Hampshire doesn't issue any permits, yet they have a very important interest in the effects of a project on wildlife and the environment in our state. Agencies with permitting or other regulatory authority are authorized by our statute to receive proposals and permit requests within their field, determine whether they are complete, and report to the committee. Those agencies are also permitted to review proposals and submit permit conditions, as I discussed, or terms. They are also, and we rely on them for this, responsible for identifying issues of concern in any particular proposal or notifying the committee that they don't have any issues of concern. When there are issues of concern for a state agency, and this is something new that's only come into the statute last year, the state agency can participate as a party, basically call witnesses and designate a liaison to actually participate in that adjudicative process that I discussed previously. And then finally, as I indicated, these agencies will submit conditions or reports. If a state agency says this application cannot meet the requirements of our permitting, then the Site Evaluation Committee is required to deny a certificate. However, if that doesn't happen, but the Site Evaluation Committee wants different conditions than what a state agency has recommended, we have to allow that state agency to come before us and tell us why they think their conditions are better than the ones that the state that the Site Evaluation Committee is proposing. That is a new part of the statute as well. So as you can see, our process with the involvement of state agencies is pretty robust, and it should catch every issue that might be of concern with respect to these types of projects that are proposed and seeking permits in our state. But even before we start this process, a lot of things go on, and I'm sure that the applicant will talk more about these things. But before any application is filed before the committee, you should understand that there are a number of things that applicants will generally do. They will make arrangements or contract for studies to be performed with ISO New England, which is our grid operator, especially if they are a transmission company or electric generating company. ISO is very important to them. They're the folks who control how the electricity gets on the grid and how it gets transmitted. They will do environmental and natural resource studies. They will attend early pre-permitting meetings with various state and federal agencies to find out what state and federal agencies are going to require for such a project. They will generally meet with our regional planning commissions, with your towns, select boards, city councils, whatever it may be. If you're before the Site Evaluation Committee and you want to build a power plant, obviously you're going to be talking to transmission companies about how you're going to get the power out on the grid. If you're a power generator, you're going to be talking about who you're going to sell your power to, who's going to buy it. Everybody is always interested in how they're going to finance a project. And of course, applicants would be interested in any availability of tax credits and things like that. All of that legwork is hopefully done before an application comes to the Site Evaluation Committee. And the public is made aware of all of that through the pre-filing public information sessions that are held in each county. And as I said before, those have been held in this docket already. And then the application is filed. Our application requirements are not meager. They are quite robust. Every application in the first instance must contain sufficient information to satisfy all of the requirements that they would have to satisfy with each state agency. So I'll go back to the Walmart example. If a Walmart's going to have a grill in it, it's got to satisfy some air pollution requirements with DES. If they're going to impact wetlands, they have to get a wetlands permit. If they're going to have a driveway cut in, they've got to go get a curb cut from the Department of Transportation. All of those types of things have to be contained within the Site Evaluation Committee application, along with all of the completed agency forms. And The applicant also has to pay the filing fee for each state agency in addition to the filing fee that it pays to the Site Evaluation Committee. In addition to those applications, the Site Evaluation Committee application also has to contain, by statute, some very important information. Obviously, the has to have details about the type and size of each major portion of the facility, has to identify the choice of the site and each alternative choice that was considered for each major part of the facility. The application must describe in detail the effect of each major part of the proposed facility on the environment. It must describe in detail any proposals for studying and solving environmental problems that the project may pose. It must describe in reasonable detail the applicant's financial, technical, and managerial capabilities so that the Site Evaluation Committee can be assured that the developer has the financial wherewithal to properly site, construct, and operate the facility. The application must document that written notice of the project, including copies of the application, have been provided to each community in which the facility is proposed to be located. It must have a decommissioning plan detailing the elements and financial assurances for decommissioning, and it must provide such additional information as the committee may require to carry out its purposes. And our committee recently promulgated a whole new set of regulations. It came out on December 16th, 2015, for applications that are filed. And those new requirements require the applicants to provide materials that were not required under the old rules. So we do have a rule that says that if your application is pending at the time that the new rules became effective, and Northern Pass was, it is still going to be subject to the new rules. However, the Site Evaluation Committee must give the applicant an ample opportunity to amend its application to include any new information that may be required. And in this particular case, the applicants have been informed of that obligation. A letter has gone out to them, and we expect that they will comply and provide any additional information that's not already contained in the application. And if you're interested in seeing that when it comes in, keep your eye on our website, because it will be posted on the website as it comes in. Now, because this is a public meeting, I am sure that many of you are interested in how can the public participate in the proceedings of the Site Evaluation Committee. And there are a number of ways. One you've already heard about, and that is to make your voice known, make your opinions known. If you have questions that you think can be answered by counsel for the public, to get in contact with his office. He gave you his direct line. I was not so bold. I put the main number for the Attorney General's office there. Either number should get you to our counsel for the public, Mr. Roth. In addition, there were pre-filing public information sessions in each county, which were open to the public and were noticed in the newspapers. There are these sessions that we are doing now. And as I said, this is a second one of five. There will be three more after tonight. There will be the joint public hearings. There will be five of those, one in each county. Now, both tonight and at the joint public hearings, where the subcommittee is actually there, the public gets to ask questions and also make public statements. So these are all ways in which you can participate. The Site Evaluation Committee, by its statute, is required to consider all of the public comments that are made. And if members of the public wish to submit reports, newspaper articles, maybe you have a scholarly article about something, the statute requires that the subcommittee is required to review that. In addition, there can be additional informational meetings if the chairman of the committee determines that they are necessary. Upon the request of a municipality or an unincorporated place. And finally, and this is something that is unusual for administrative agencies, we accept written comment from the public right up until the day that we issue a decision. There will be no cutoff other than the date of the vote for the decision. There will be no cutoff. You can come in 3 days before the hearing and say, here's my written public comment. And by statute, as I said, the committee must consider that written comment. And finally, if you believe that you have a substantial right, duty, or other substantial interest that's going to be impacted by this project, you have the right to seek intervention as a party. That is, that you have the right to request the committee to allow you to participate. We call that being an intervener. And you have the right, if you can demonstrate that you have a substantial interest in the proceeding and that you won't interfere with the orderly and prompt proceeding, that you can file a motion to intervene. And if you are granted intervention status, you'll have the same status as counsel for the public or the applicant. You'll be permitted to call witnesses. You'll be permitted to cross-examine witnesses and act just as any other party before the Site Evaluation Committee. So those are the ways that the public can participate. There's quite a few of them. We encourage public participation in all of our dockets. What ultimately must the subcommittee do? The subcommittee must give due consideration to the relevant information regarding the potential siting or routing of a proposed facility. The subcommittee must give due consideration to the significant impacts and benefits, as I discussed earlier. And the subcommittee must determine whether the issuance of a certificate will serve the objectives of RSA 162H, which are those objectives that were on that very first slide that I showed to you. In doing that, the subcommittee cannot issue a certificate of site and facility. In other words, they cannot permit the Northern Pass project if they cannot find that the applicant has adequate financial, technical, and managerial capability to assure that construction and operation of the facility is in compliance with terms and conditions of a certificate. In other words, in order to grant a certificate, the Site Evaluation Committee must find that the applicant has that capability. The second thing that the committee must find is that the project will not unduly interfere with the orderly development of the region, with due consideration being given to the views of municipal and regional planning commissions and municipal governing bodies. That's where your local authorities come in. If they send comments or if they intervene, the Site Evaluation Committee is required to consider their views. And oftentimes, for instance, the master plan for towns will be submitted, as will zoning ordinances or planning ordinances, and all of those types of ordinances and local planning criteria will be considered by the Site Evaluation Committee. Now, that doesn't mean the Site Evaluation Committee is going to go along with whatever a local planning board wants, but it has to be considered. The third criteria is that the Site Evaluation Committee, before they can issue a certificate, it must be demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence that the project will not have an unreasonable adverse effect on aesthetics, historic sites, air and water quality, the natural environment, or public health and safety. All of those things must be considered by the committee. And if the committee finds that there will be an unreasonable adverse effect on any one of those criteria, the committee must deny the certificate. And the final consideration that the committee must determine is whether or not the project, the issuance of a certificate for the project, the permitting of the project, will serve the public interest. If each of those criteria are met, the site evaluate by a preponderance of the evidence, in other words, the applicant who has the burden of proof has demonstrated these things through our year-long process to the committee, then the committee should issue a certificate of site and facility. If the committee feels that the applicants have failed to demonstrate any one of those criteria, then the committee will deny the certificate of site and facility. So that's how the committee works. That's the process that we use. The best place to get continuing information about the Northern Pass project or any other project is on our website at www.nhsec.nh.gov. And once again, the procedure that we're going to use for the rest of tonight is this. Once I sit down, the applicant, through I believe Mr. Quinlan, will make a presentation to the public about the project, tell you some of the details about it. We will then take questions, and again, if you have a question, write it down on the green question card and drop it off up here. And like I say, we're going to categorize these by category and ask them in an organized fashion. Once we've asked all the questions, we will then take public statements and comments. And if you want to make a public statement or comment, we need you to fill out a yellow card. And please, as I said, please let's do questions during the question segment and comments during the comment segment. With that, I'm going to turn the dais over to the applicant, Mr. Quinlan.